Merry Christmas. First offering wasn't up to par, so. No, this is not an offering. I mean, if you feel compelled to give at the sound of my voice, we can accommodate. No, this is just an introduction. Or a voice fill-in. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, bless this night. Father, we're excited. It's Christmas. We celebrate your birth, Father, in our lives, your existence, your presence, Father, here tonight and every day. We thank you for that. Just bless these words in your name. Amen. This morning we heard just a beautiful story in Matthew chapter 2 of the wise men traveling, crossing borders, not for collaboration, as we heard, not for financial gain, not to make economic connections of some kind or allies of some kind, but to find God. And I don't think they knew what they were looking for. Or I don't think they knew, maybe. It doesn't seem like they knew what God would look like. And then in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, if we continue the story from this morning, when they came to the house and saw the young child. And I wonder if they were surprised that God would be in the form of a baby. My guess, it doesn't seem like they hesitated for one second. The next sentence is really that they worshipped, but they must have been so surprised. They must have been shocked, overwhelmed with traveling all this way, looking for something incredible, something that transcends the reality of the day. And here they are, and they find a little baby. A couple of weeks ago, about 5 weeks ago or so, Pastor Schaller preached a message about Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And I've been thinking about that message nonstop. We were in Ashgabat, and I preached on it there, and I just can't stop thinking about it because the message was about being surprised by love. And he mentioned Song of Solomon, chapter 2. If you want to turn there, we can read the verse. By the way, I think that if you tried to keep up with the amount of truth coming from this pulpit, that you would have enough to study for hours a week, if not more. You would have enough to fill your devotional life. You would not be able to keep up. That's what I believe. It's like that for me sometimes, like one message after another, and I just write things down. I try to get to it, but there's so much truth and so many amazing words coming from here. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. My beloved is like a roe. The entire book describes love. And here in verse 9, it really describes love as being a surprise to us. Standing behind a wall, looking forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. This is really the story of Jesus as he visits us in the manger, but continually. Actually, it's the story of humanity. The real history of humanity is that we are caught by surprise by his love over and over again, all the time, throughout the entire Bible, every chapter speaks of his love and how it affects us. And here the wise men enter in and see a baby. And I wonder if there was any hesitation. I wonder if they like immediately knew. I wonder the mindset, the thoughts. Were they looking for it? I think they were. And because they were, they knew what to do. This continues, really, if you think about the life of Jesus. Everything in this world is so predictable. Nothing new under the sun. Every movie ends the same. Every football game is pretty predictable, actually. One of two winners. There is the predictable sin. There is the predictable flesh. There is the failure. There is my evil heart again. My thoughts betray me again. It's greed again. A politician lying again. It's like that in this world, actually. I am bored with it. I'm bored with what the world has to offer. But then there's Jesus, always surprising me. And for 5 weeks, I've been surprised. just thinking about that every day, just meditating and looking for it. Like, can you imagine when Jesus spoke in the temple and his words astounded people? Like, it's like he meant to do it. We are a certain way. We think a certain way. We act a certain way. We have it in us that whatever Jesus does surprises me. I'm still caught by surprise all the time. I think of Zacchaeus in the tree, hiding, you know, like not wanting to be seen. You know, they don't have big trees in this part of the world, as far as I know. I've been there, and here he is hiding, holding on to some thin branches, maybe. Doesn't want to be seen. He just wants to see. He doesn't want to be seen. And then Jesus stops and looks up, and can you imagine the fear? The fear. He must have just been, like, shocked. And Jesus looks up, and he says, I have to go to your house. And he is... he is flabbergasted. He's like, what? You want to come to my house? This is my Jesus. This is how he relates to us. He, just when you think, you know, just when you think you got it figured out, you read a scripture, you come to a service, and bang, there he is again. His grace, his compassion, his tears, how he interacts with us, how he leads us, how he speaks to us, how he views me. I'll never stop being surprised at that. He lives this way. The woman at the well, shocked. The woman caught in adultery. Like, I would love to interview her. How shocked were you? Was it heart-stopping? I think it probably was. Like, she knew why she was there. She knew why they dragged her there, what was going to happen. And then there is Jesus surprising her with love. This is really the norm for him. The Good Samaritan, the prodigal son coming home, being overwhelmed because of the reaction of the father. Not even understanding it, actually, beyond our own comprehension. Not, this is how it should be, except Christ does things differently. He loves. He loves me. He loves you. And he surprises me. And this is continual. The washing of the feet is a shocking story. And every word he says surprises me. And every move he makes surprises me. And we are in the body. And actually, if we have eyes for it, if we are looking for it, if we are sensitive to it, then we are continuously being surprised by his love. Somebody gives us a kind word. Somebody says something edifying. Somebody loves us. And we love being surprised in the body. And in the ministry, as we serve God, we work hard, we zealously work hard, and actually, we are surprised by what we find when we lay down our lives. It's like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know this is how it would go. I thought we were just going to work hard, be disciplined, you know, be good Christians, do our little thing. But actually, no, that's not the point. The point is to find Christ and be surprised at the end of it, be surprised by love. I think when we pick up our cross, the real story of picking up our cross is that we are surprised by the love that is contained within it. When we apply the cross in different parts of our lives, when we incorporate the cross in every area of our lives, it is surprisingly lovely, a mystery, a secret, like treasure in dark places. This is who Jesus is. In Ashgabat, I had the thought that that really the mission of Christ, what he really wants to do, is catch me by surprise every single day, all the time, in everything he does. Even when he is on the cross, he is dying, he is bleeding to death, his energy is pouring out of him, there's blood pouring out of him, sweat pouring out of him. He has nothing left except one more chance. With his last breath, one more opportunity. He can barely say the words, but it must be done. He must surprise us one more time. And he says, "Father, forgive them." Like, this is my Jesus. And I just, you know, I can't get over that, to be honest. I can't get over that Jesus. It's overwhelming, isn't it? It's beautiful. And we are so spotless. We are so clean, more than we even know. We are so pure, so perfect, so holy, so righteous, more than we can even imagine, more than our feeble little finite brains can understand or comprehend. All I can say is, Jesus, just keep doing it. Just keep grabbing me. Keep speaking to me. Keep surprising me. In Isaiah, just maybe a closing verse. Isaiah 43. Or actually 45. No, sorry, 43:19. Are you with me? 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Like, that means something new to me now. Like, okay, a new thing. Of course you would, Lord. Of course you would do a new thing for me. And it shall spring forth. Yes, okay. That's how it is. You will surprise me in a shocking way with your love and your grace and your mercy. And then these words, shall ye know it? And I think we can all be honest. Like, actually, I don't always see it. I don't always know it. Actually, why did it take me so long to see this, you know? I'm like 46 years old. Wow, Lord, why? You've been surprising me all my life, and I am only now seeing it, and only a little bit. And actually, in heaven, the name of the game will be catching it every day, all the time, more, for eternity. Just more about his love, more about his nature, more about who he is all the time, just living the real life, living a life being surprised by God. And for Christmas, we could do this every day. Every day you could find it. And we'll be familiar, we'll have our moments, but Lord, help us, please. Surprise me in the messages, surprise me. And use me to surprise others. That's the biggest surprise of all. like somehow I could be at the other side of the world like I just was and realize, oh, I am part of the surprise. Well, that was also like unexpected. God would use me and you and all of us to love others. Isn't that beautiful? That's Christmas. Amen.
Okay. Pastor Gary, good to see you. Amazing. Pastor Gary Grunwald is here. And Gemma is here from Ireland. She's dating her fiance, John Clark. They're dating. Go ahead, look at them and just say, no touch love. that message, wasn't that good? That was a good message. So, because if you could hear the morning message at 9 with Pastor Love and then myself and Pastor Love, then there was the 11 o'clock on the wise men, Herod, and then the three wise men. And I know that not everyone is here this morning. That was a good message, wasn't it? So I'm going to interview him just for a minute, and he's going to do the altar call and finish up, okay? Now, here it is. Christ surprising us. Love surprising us. What was that? That was a deer running across 695. And it leaped over the hood of my car. Okay. I hit a moose in Finland. And I hit the back of the moose with the side view mirror of my car. And it took the mirror off. So the moose had a mirror on his backside. And God saved me. Thank you, Lord. Okay, have you ever seen a squirrel flip its tail? How fast is it? Really fast, like the second coming of Jesus. Okay. Love surprising. Like, whoa. Pastor Gary came home for Christmas. Whoa, the family goes, whoa, where'd you come from? Okay. And so many examples. And he mentioned them. The babe born in Bethlehem, totally out of the picture. I mean, what a surprise. Christ saying, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Pastor Pete going to Ashgabat, Turkmenistan, coming off the airplane, and all these people are like, they're shocked he comes. Then they love him so much, and he's shocked that they love him. And they're shocked that he loves them. That is true. And that's what he shared. And then also, I just want to ask you, you are a businessman, you are successful, you have a beautiful family, you've done a lot of things, your mother here is amazing, and her story could be told, you know, in a book, honestly. Corrie Ten Boom number 2, that's who she is, because she's from Holland. But amazing, World War II, as a child, starving, eating tulip bulbs. Amazing stories from this dear woman down here. And this is her son. And she followed Christ and is surprised, refreshed. Christ showed up. God did it. Out of the box. Thank you, God. Now, when you were walking in your family and doing your work and everything, and then you found that, was there emptiness, was there accomplishment, but not the satisfaction until you found the cross?
Yes.
You answered correctly. Okay, go ahead. Explain that.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so my testimony is that I grew up in this church. Can't remember much before this church. The body came to Holland in 77. And I was 7 years old. We got saved. And my mom, I always say my mom got gloriously saved. So that meant all out for Jesus. And she dragged me all over the world. And that's how I ended up here. And but we also, I also, like, you know, like had like this second generation problem where I couldn't quite find what my mom found so quickly and immediately. And familiarity, you know, all these issues. Also, just to keep a long story short, just needing to prove myself, needing to find significance, wanting to have people respect me, and the best way to do that is to be successful in business. So that's where I went, and worked very hard for many years, but it doesn't work so well. Because I was shown so much truth as a child, shown people that had real relationships with Christ. And it wasn't necessarily a verse or a doctrine or somebody speaking to me, but just their lives and what was behind their lives. And that was undeniable in a sense. So when you try to replace that with something else, it gets very difficult. And Psalm 115, or I think it's 115 or 116. No, 106, sorry. 106, 16 or 15. Says that God will give us the desires of our heart. He will do that. And I really feel that way with my life, that God said, if I don't give Pete what he wants, he's never going to stop looking for it. So he gave it to me. And the problem is he also gave leanness in my soul with it. And that's really the story of my life. I could no longer be preoccupied with business after a while or making money or whatever, because it just wasn't working. I just needed something more. And I came running back, really, to the church. Long story short, you know, here we are. And you know, full, just, I promise you, just full of God's. I mean, sometimes I just feel like God is so with me and so filling us, you know. When we came back from Central Asia, I was exhausted physically. I've never had such extremes in a sense that my physical body was so tired, but spiritually so full, you know. And I love that feeling. I love that feeling. So satisfied, so sure that God is doing a work in you, and his grace and love is full of your life, full of you, full of him in your life. And so, you know, here I am. It's, you know, it's the story of being surprised by love, and still looking for more. Really, when do we stop? Right, we never stop. And then also, Pastor Shala mentioned, like, I believe that there was not power in my life because I was. Didn't know really about the cross in my life. Like, there was no, it just didn't exist. There was just the shell of Christianity, the form of it, but not really getting down deep where it matters. And when the cross comes in your life, then there is a reality of Christ, really. It brings it in, and then you have power. You feel power, not the kind of power I thought I was going to have, by the way. Don't feel so powerful in that sense, but just powerful because we have peace, powerful because God is with us, powerful because there's a call in our lives, powerful because we have forgiveness in our heart, powerful because we have love in our heart. Those are the real powers that come with Christ. Not necessarily powerful as an individual. So this is the story of all of our lives, isn't it? The story of all of our lives is that we didn't know how, when, what. I couldn't really tell you to go my way or subscribe this route, but here I am, and God is with us, and that's awesome. God is blessing. Amen.
Lastly, like you could imagine in the audience and then on the internet, there could be people that are listening, and they are saying, you're talking to me. That's the story of my life. How can I get it? How can I get it? Or even a believer who's been walking many years and he doesn't have it. He doesn't know. How do you get it? Do you remember how to get it back? Or how do you get it? Like, can you tell us that? And then when you're done, do the altar call. Okay, and close.
Yeah, I think that God operates this way, that his entire plan, whether it's through salvation or whether it's through someone who's been a Christian for decades but has lost his way, that his way is to get us to the end of ourselves so that we can be surprised by love. Like, a strong Christian is a Christian who doesn't need grace. A strong, you know, religious person, of course, doesn't need salvation. So the game plan is to break you down. I really believe this to be the fact. I believe ministry is nothing more than just a great opportunity for me to be crushed, so that I can find Jesus and see what he does, you know. And, you know, I think we get lost when we get confident. I think we get lost when we think we have it figured out. I think we get lost when we go through the motions. I think we get lost when we have great routine in our life and, you know, even discipline, but not the presence of God. I'm saying this, by the way, kind of shaking. My knees are like barely holding it together because I'm almost inviting it in. But really, like, this is what I believe. This is the whole point of it all, that God would find a way to decrease me. Because when I'm so low, God is so big and so awesome. And the problem with second-generation Christians is that they're not so low. They're kind of going through the motions and have seen it all. They know about grace. You could say the finished work to a second-generation teenager, and it doesn't mean anything. Like, it didn't mean anything to me, because I'm just not in the right place, and God has to kind of lower me and get me in that perfect position where the viewpoint is just astronomical, like such a beautiful big God. I don't know how that happened, actually. I don't know how that happened, just it did in my life. And maybe we'll pray, and I'll pray for anyone that doesn't know what I'm talking about. Like, if you don't know Jesus, then this prayer is for you, okay? So, Father, there are people maybe watching on the internet and maybe even in the audience here today, Father, that don't understand this subject. This seems strange. It doesn't make any sense. It's so opposite, so countercultural, so different than what is said in the world. But this message is for you, and it sounds good to you because there's truth to it, and you can feel it. And I would ask you to consider being surprised by love, to pray to Jesus right now and say, Lord, I believe this. I believe in you. Fill my heart with your love. I want to be one of those people that receives your love and sees it everywhere. I want to know your love. And pray that to him on your knees or right now in the audience. Just pray that prayer. And God will show himself to you. He has to. This is what he does. This is what he lives for. Jesus, we just pray for all of those are maybe a little bit lost. Christians, older Christians, young Christians, Lord, show us your love. Let that be our prayer for Christmas. Use us, Father. Pour in so we can pour out. If you said that prayer here in the audience, just raise your hand so we can give you something. Anybody here said that prayer, you can raise your hand. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.